thanking you that you can do and do the impossible all the time for each and every one of us, all the time, if we would just open our eyes and see it. And thank you that we can look to you for this next few moments, and may our hearts be open to receive what you have for us. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for being here. I got a question for you. What is Paul's gospel? What is Paul's gospel? And maybe a better question would be, why study Paul's gospel? You have any idea where Paul's gospel is? What it is? Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to give you some things to think about. And believe me, this is a lot bigger subject than we can discuss in the next hour and 45 minutes. Okay, we're not going to be here that long. Okay. I know that made you nervous, didn't it? I told Joe I was going to try to get everybody out of here before 11:50 like he did. That obviously, that probably will not happen. But isn't it kind of funny, thinking about this? We have trouble listening to a 20-minute sermon, but we don't have any trouble watching 60 minutes. Wait a minute. How about visiting for 45 minutes after the service is over, watching I'm not going to do that to Dwayne. Golf. Watching golf on TV for 3 or 4 hours. Okay. I got an amen out of that one. Okay, good. Well, so what is Paul's gospel? And we can't cover that in any length of time per se, but I'm going to give you an introduction to it today. Paul's gospel, I want you to realize, first of all, is 100 chapters of scripture included in our Holy Bible, which is called the Word of God. If you take and look at your Bible, you can probably see where you've been studying because the way the pages are worn. Most of you here have wore out Paul's gospel, the 100 chapters written by Paul. And the Word of God, according to Revelation 19:13, is another name for Jesus. And I'm not giving you any specific place to turn to just yet. We'll go to Colossians 1 if you want to. That gives you something to do for a minute. But the Holy Bible, we should think of it like this, is a love letter written to us by the Holy Ghost so that we can learn about and fall in love with Jesus, our lovely Lord and Savior, who died for us, who gave himself for us, for each and every one of us, and for whom we are patiently waiting for his soon coming. Now, the Apostle Paul, and we're talking mainly about Paul's gospel, but Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so Paul's 100 chapters that we find in scripture are inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1, I had you turn there, verse 25. Paul writes this, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, when you study this verse, and I hope you do, the word fulfill here means to fill up, to complete, to fill to the top, to fill to the full, to fill to the full the word of God. The word dispensation here references a stewardship, an overseer or a management of a divine economy, which really was the gospel message committed unto Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:17, and we're not going to turn there, I will have you turn to a few places. Turn to Isaiah 28 if you want to get to one of the places we'll spend a little time in. But in 1 Corinthians 9:17, Paul, we find this statement written by Paul: a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So, in short, Paul's 100 chapters in the Word of God is the dispensation of the gospel that was given unto Paul to preach and to write in Scripture to fill to the full the Word of God, as we learn there in Colossians 1:25. So this then answers the question, why study Paul's gospel? We're to study Paul's gospel because that's what we're going to be tested on. There's a test? Yes. Every day. We go through tests, don't we? So you're to study Paul's gospel because his 100 chapters of Scripture were given him to complete the Word of God. The number 100 is significant, actually, because it's the number that points to completion. And so that should verify why we are to know Paul's 100 chapters. It was number of complete. You want to be complete, don't you? You don't want to be missing something. Well, you need to know Paul's gospel. That's what it's there for. We could say it this way: Jesus sent us, the Apostle Paul, to open our eyes to the truth of the gospel, that our ears also should be open to receive Paul's gospel, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's found in Paul's gospel in Romans 10:17. I had you turn to Isaiah 28. So let's read a couple verses here in Isaiah 28:9. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In other words, we're not going to get it all at once. One brother said it was like drinking from a fire hose coming here to hear what was being taught. Well, I've been there. After 2 minutes, I was ready to jump up and say, time out. I'm having trouble taking all this in all at once, you know. So we get it a little at a time, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. No, we're not going to get it all at once. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here a little, there a little, line upon line. We are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. One step of faith at a time. One day at a time, meditating upon the word of God. One verse at a time. One thought at a time. Every day, and all day, all the time. Are your thoughts there? Is that where your thoughts are? Okay, that's where they should be. We too can be a New Testament worthy of faith, a full overcomer, if we will just follow Paul's example. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, here's what Paul encourages us to do by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse my mom wrote in the first Bible she gave me. Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says, steady, steady. I don't like to steady. Well, you should like to study your Bible. How are you going to learn anything? I'll give you some things, and you can write these verses down. I'll give them to you fairly quick so he can move on. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, and this is Paul writing, "Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." Again, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be followers of me." Kind of an egotist, isn't he? No, because listen to how the rest of this verse goes. "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And 2 Corinthians 4:3, you guys are trying to keep up. I'm going too fast. If you are, I'll slow down for a minute. Well, not a whole minute, just figuratively. 2 Corinthians 4:3. "If our gospel be hid," this is Paul writing, "it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Where was Paul's focus? It was upon the Lord. We're to follow Paul as he followed Christ because he was focused upon the Lord. Philippians 3:17. And then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 11. Philippians 3:17. How are you going to study something if you don't know where it is, right? I got to get out of the road and let you guys keep up here, okay? So, Philippians 3:17, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me," Paul writes, "and mark them which walk so you, as ye have us for an ensample." Be followers of Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:2, and it tells us why we are to follow Paul. Is he followed Christ? 2 Corinthians 11:2. "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Whose gospel message does this? Paul's. That's why we study Paul's gospel. So the Holy Ghost left us 100 chapters in Scripture written by the Apostle Paul. 100, again, test time, is the number of completion, a number which points to a complete, finished, usable product. 100% whole. When you buy something, you want 100% of it, right? You don't want just part of it. And it speaks to those 100% fruitful in Christ Jesus, complete in him in all things, and such a one is the bride of Christ. She is 100% focused upon him in all things. So now you see why knowing Paul's 100 chapters of Paul's gospel is so important to your spiritual completion. The second point of importance in answering our question of what is Paul's gospel revolves around the word gospel. The word gospel references good news or good tidings. In Romans 11:13, we find that Paul's gospel is the good news written unto us. And Paul says in Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Paul's gospel was written primarily unto the Gentiles because he was the apostle sent unto the Gentiles. So then we are to know Paul's 100 chapters of good news or good tidings written unto us. I looked up the word gospel and I found it mentioned in 98 verses of scripture. Now, that's kind of important, but here's something more important. 70 of the 98 verses are in Paul's epistles, where we find the word gospel. Here's something that's interesting. 70 is the number that has to do with rulership. What do you think Paul's gospel message has to do with? Rulership? Huh? Do you want to rule and reign with Christ as his bride? So we must realize the Apostle Paul was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write his 100 chapters, emphasizing qualities of rulership in his gospel message. So now you've had some time to think. What is Paul's gospel? Well, we've learned that it's 100 chapters of important scripture written by Paul to fill up or complete the word of God. And we also should know that these 100 chapters cannot be learned or read or studied all at once. You can go home this afternoon and read all 100 chapters and put a check mark on your calendar that you did that, but it won't do you a whole lot of good. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay? So I'll give you some highlights. Go to Galatians 1. How many of you that have jobs had to have training to do your job? Had to have a certificate of some kind saying you were trained to do this job? You have to have a license or something. Most of you. You know, some of you work for yourself, and you've had some training to do what you do by yourself. Well, in Galatians 1:11, Paul writes this: I certify you, brethren, I have this certificate. Think of it like that. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither learned it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we learn, among other things, that Paul's gospel message was given him by the revelation of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you can read on down there on your own and study this out in Galatians 1:17 and 18 to see how this was. Now, we'll go back to Acts, the 20th chapter, for a moment. And I realize that Acts isn't Paul's written gospel, but the gospel of Paul is found in Acts. If you were here when Joe Rogers preached a couple Sundays ago, he referenced all the sermons in the book of Acts. Well, one of the sermons is from Paul, and more than that, but there's one that I'm thinking of is in the 13th chapter of Acts. And that sermon there is more like a pattern of his sermons that he first preached when he went into the different synagogues. But in Acts 20:24, Paul is at the end of his third missionary journey. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. He called for the Ephesian elders, and in Acts 20:24, we find Paul expressing the heart attitude of a full overcomer. Acts 20:24, Paul writes, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." the gospel of the grace of God. We find the phrase, the grace of God, in 20 verses of Scripture. 20 is the number of redemption. 14 times we find the phrase, the grace of God, in Paul's gospel. What is Paul's gospel? Could you say it's the grace of God, for one thing? 14 times it's in that, in his gospel. 14 is the number of deliverance or salvation. None of us could ever have been saved had it not been for the grace of God. Right? Okay. The grace of God is the foundation of Paul's gospel message. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. And here we find that the grace of God is the foundation that Paul's gospel message is built upon. In 1 Corinthians 3, and I appreciate you turning to these scriptures. You can be lazy and not do it, you know, but it's better if you do. And I appreciate that you've got your cell phones turned down. Sue and I were in a restaurant the other day. We heard this baby crying just really loud. And Sue says, where's that kid at? And I looked, and there's a guy's cell phone ring on the table next to us. It was a crying baby. It was irritating. And it was loud. I know another guy. His cell phone ring was horses going, well, you know, you look around for this horse. And he got a phone call. His phone was supposed to be off. He was in a meeting, and it went off like that. And he says, that really drives my horses nuts when I'm in the barn. Well, it would, wouldn't it? But, you know, we don't want to have that going on in church either. I should have made that announcement earlier, but you should know better, right? But now you've had time to get to 1 Corinthians 3:9. Paul, we're speaking of the gospel of Paul and the foundation upon which his gospel message is built upon. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul writes, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, we've talked about the grace of God here, the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, go to Titus. It's after 2 Timothy, which is after 1 Timothy, which is towards the end of Paul's epistles, before Hebrews. I'm not going to give you the page number like Ray did, but if you got a Scofield Bible, you can find it real quick. It's on page, where I'm going, 1284. 1283 will work. 1284, Titus 2:11. Paul wrote this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, you think about that. And James, you brought up Acts 22 this morning to me. But if you study Acts 9 and you study Acts 22 and you study Acts 26, you'll find three different accounts of how the Lord Jesus Christ himself first appeared to our apostle Paul on the road to Damascus when he was still known as Saul of Tarsus. And that was the first day Paul's gospel message was introduced to him by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was the grace of God that Jesus appeared to him in the first place. Think about that. Now, 1 Timothy 1:15 says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul wrote that about himself. Yes, James, he was a persecutor of Stephen and a lot of different ones that were Christians. And he led that group. We'd like to get rid of him. He was king number one terrorist. But that's not how the grace of God works. In Romans, turn there, Romans 3:23, and we'll go to Romans 5. Well, I never killed anybody, you might say. You know, we might not have done a lot of things. But Romans 3:23 tells us this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all, and that includes me. All of us. Go look in the mirror. Romans 5:8. And I want you to note this one and underline these verses. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I hope everyone here knows that. I hope everyone here knows Christ died for you. Now, I'll have you turn to John 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to refer back to this portion that I told you to study on your own, Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. And you'll find that when Jesus first appeared unto Paul, when he was still known as Saul, Paul, or Saul, said to him, "Who art thou, Lord?" Yep. He knew. It was an aha moment, if there ever was one, in the life of Paul, the very moment he became a believer, where he passed from death unto life. And I'll show you how this is. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," Saul, why persecutest thou me? "And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life, unto life." Well, go to Romans 10, because this became part of Paul's gospel message, and I want you to see this. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we got to see it, you know. Romans 10:9. Paul wrote this. This is part of Paul's gospel. Romans 10:9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," who art thou, Lord? Isn't that confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus? "And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead." Be kind of hard to argue with that if you're Saul of Tarsus laying in the dust blinded by a bright light, that there wasn't a resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus there. "Who art thou, Lord?" "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved," period. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Where did Paul get his scripture? It wasn't his scripture. He's quoting Old Testament scripture. My mom, one time, went through her Schofield Bible, just wrote down on a sheet of paper. It turned out to be two sheets of paper. It turned out to be like four sheets of paper. Just all the times that you find a quote from Psalms in the New Testament. Another good thing for you to do, take your Schofield Bible, go through there from Romans 1 all the way to the end of Hebrews, and write down all the quotations of scripture that Paul gave from the Old Testament. Here's one of them right here, verse 11. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How complicated is that? Not very. That's pretty simple. Now, go back to Romans 1. And this gives you a little bit of a clue as to why, what is Paul's gospel? Romans 1:16. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." 26 times, and I looked this up, 26 times in Paul's gospel, we read the word salvation. And we just read three of these scriptures. You can go back and look for it. 26 is the number that points to the gospel or the good news of the gospel. Amen. What is Paul's gospel about? One of the things is about salvation. Now, as you study Acts 9, 22 and 26, those are three different chapters, you will find another fact that will become important point of emphasis in Paul's gospel, and that is the fact of Jesus' resurrection. It was a resurrected Jesus who appeared unto Paul on the road to Damascus. 2 Timothy 2:8. And Paul's writing, when he writes to Timothy, he's writing to a preacher. He's writing to an apostle, a guy that knows his book. He knew the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." He preached that. He knew that. And studying Jesus' resurrection in Paul's gospel in itself would be a very profitable and lengthy study, kind of like studying Hosea Ray, which would also be of eternal benefit to everyone who takes the time to do this. Okay, now, I'm going to have you go to Acts 19, and I'm just skimming a couple of the highlights of Paul's gospel. And we're taking quite a bit of time to do this, aren't we? But another point emphasized in Paul's gospel is the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, 1 through 7, we find the Apostle Paul returning to Ephesus at the beginning of his third missionary journey. And he finds certain disciples. These disciples are believers on Christ Jesus, but they knew nothing about the Holy Ghost. And Paul is speaking in Acts 19:2, where we read, "And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Drop down to verse 6. "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them." How do we know that? Because it tells us here, "And they spake with tongues and prophesied." Verse 7, "And all the men were about 12. There was a dozen guys there, okay? So go back to Acts 9. We're going to get there. And 9:17 specifically. And this is where Paul first learned himself about the Holy Ghost in Acts 9:17. That's when Ananias of Damascus came to where Paul was. And in Acts 9:17, as you read there, it says, "And putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, you know, if you read this story, that Paul was blinded by the bright light of the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And when Ananias of Damascus laid hands on him and prayed that he would receive his sight again, Acts 9:18 informs us that scales fell off of Paul's eyes and he received his sight. But more important, Paul's spiritual eyes were also enlightened as he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was able to see and begin to learn the gospel message he was to preach, because the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's our guide into all the truth. Okay? We find that in John 16:13. And that's Jesus speaking in John 16:13. And he's telling his disciples about the Holy Ghost. In John 16:13, he says, Jesus telling his disciples, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Ghost, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And it was the Holy Spirit that revealed unto Paul things to come. And it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who was the inspiration behind all of Paul's 100 chapters of written scripture. Go to 1 Thessalonians. That's the first book he ever wrote. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And just a little fact to note here. There's a lot of things we can note. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. "For our gospel," Paul's writing, "came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now, a quick summation, if we can do a quick summation, of Paul's gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. And so I want you to study this. First Corinthians 15:1. We're answering the question, what is Paul's gospel? You can find it. A lot of answers right here in this chapter. We know it as a resurrection chapter. "Moreover, brethren," Paul writes, "I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." We went over that this morning. That's the beginning of Paul's gospel. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Verse 8. "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." That was when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus there in Acts 9:22-26 that we talked about earlier. Verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet or fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But," here we go again, "the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And then one more thing. Go to verses 20-23. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. We don't have the time to go over the rest of all this, okay? But in this we find introduced ranks in the resurrection. Every man in his own order. Study that word order up. And then on your own, go study Ephesians 5. And you find Paul wrote us how many mysteries? 7, 8, something like that. That's in Paul's gospel. Don't have time to cover that. We find the rest of 1 Corinthians a comparison between the two Adams. The first man, Adam, being Adam, the first man, and the second man being the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Well, Adam, the first man, had a wife named Eve. Jesus, too, like Adam, will have a wife. That's Paul's gospel. Now, Paul, go to 1 Thessalonians. And I'm leaving a lot out. And I'm glad you're glad I am. But you can study this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 says this. We're not to be asleep like other Christians. He's talking to Christians here, those that are not saved or dead in trespasses and sins. They're not asleep. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, he writes to Christians, believers, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Go back up to 1 Thessalonians 4 and read 16 through 18 to find out what it is we're to be watching and sober for. What? The soon coming of our heavenly bridegroom. For the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you want to have God's best? Do you want to be a full overcomer? You want to be found in that highest heavenly company called the Bride of Christ? Yes. Then we need to follow Paul and learn Paul's gospel. Romans 16, go there. And if you follow Paul's gospel, it will take you higher and higher and draw you closer and closer to Jesus as you learn about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, found mentioned in Philippians 3:14. Now you're in Romans. Verse 25, we'll read to the end and this will conclude. Now unto him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. Who would that him be? The Holy Ghost. Right? Come on, Aaron. You know this stuff. And you got it. You get an A+, buddy. Okay, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery given to Paul, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I have nothing to add. Let's pray.